that was like normal for them. And so what the people do there in Christchurch, after it, when something like that happens, they immediately go on the internet and find out how big it was, and they all guess first. Well, I think that was a 4.5. It was 4.7, actually. And the big one was 6.5, the one that destroyed the business district. So, yeah, I went out and I said, okay, what was it? But I couldn't sleep very well after that. I was thinking, anyway, yeah. So in a second, it can be finished. And those people know it. In fact, if you go driving on the roads in Christchurch, they have these speed limit signs, 50, you know, like here they have 50. Nothing goes over 50 there now. 50, 40. And above each sign, it says temporary. Temporary, 50. Temporary, 40. And I'm thinking, yeah, they got it. It's temporary. It's all the speed limit is real temporary. But actually the whole place is temporary. And then you see shops and you have a big sign on the wall, temporary, because they're going to move. They have to move because the government is going to demolish all the places and make, you know, hospitals and stuff. So you know, you really get the sense of temporary when you visit that place. It's real temporary. And Prabhupada comments on that there is a sign somewhere in America, detour, temporary inconvenience, permanent improvement. And Prabhupada said, yeah, all we get is the temporary inconvenience, but there's no permanent improvement. So this is the news. This is the nature of this world, that it's temporary. And they really understand that message in that city there. So when you visit there, you just see how the people are just so, I mean, they're just ready. They're ready, you know, for death, actually. They understand. So, but people still have faith in this world, as we were discussing yesterday. We've gone through so many stone boats. The boat sinks, and still we think, no, we can keep trying. Let us keep trying. But Prabhupada said, bhakti means when you're convinced anything of this world cannot make me happy. So the conclusion is to surrender to Krishna, to be saved. And now in verse 24, we're going to start hearing how to surrender. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. So how to surrender? Become servant of the servant. So we're going to be discussing this a lot for the next few verses, especially verse 28, which is a very famous verse quoted by Srila Prabhupada about servant of the servant. So in case you have no experience of the temporary nature of this material happiness, Prabhupada says, does everybody have experience, or do we need more? We need more, I think. Some of us need more. Okay. We need to be fried in the frying pan a little bit more, so we're really fried and well done. As we discussed in morning class, the news, yes, we're frying over here. The fan doesn't work, I guess, huh? People are being fried right in this classroom, in this temple. Okay. So Prabhupada says here how you can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj. Purport, by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, every intelligent man can get experience like that of Prahlad Maharaj. So intelligence means if you hear about it, then you don't need to go out and experience it. Three kinds of intelligence. One is you hear, and then you understand, okay, no happiness here. Another one is you hear, but you think, no, I have to experience it. So that's less intelligent. And you go through it, and you say, yeah, there's no happiness here. It's just like Daksha. Daksha had all these thousands of sons, and when Narada Muni took all of them away, he became so angry, and he said, don't you understand? They have to get married and experience the unhappiness of material life before they can renounce. If they don't experience the misery, how will they renounce? And so that was his argument. That is the material world. So by following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, once you gain thorough experience that all material opulence is perishable at every moment. So, to become servant of the servant. Now, we all became servants of Srila Prabhupada. We became servant of Prabhupada. And we understood one reason why it's good to be servant of the servant is that the spiritual master, the servant of Krishna, is more merciful than Krishna himself. Now, I would like to ask everybody here to think about that. How is Prabhupada more merciful than Krishna, or how is your guru more merciful than Krishna? Think 1 minute, and who can tell me how they are more merciful? And if you can't think of anything, I can give you some examples. How is Prabhupada more merciful than Krishna? Yes. Oh, that's a really nice one. Krishna spoke to Arjuna, such a qualified person. And Prabhupada spoke to us, actually, who have no qualification at all. All right, that's a good one. Anything else? Any other way that Prabhupada is more merciful? Yeah, Lord Chaitanya, he spread Krishna consciousness in India, and Prabhupada spread it to the Malachas and Yavanas and all over the world. Yes?
Prabhupada came to us.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. We weren't even looking, right? And Prabhupada found us. He came to us and got us, and he called us and he tricked us. He said, I tricked you all, because none of you wanted Krishna consciousness, but I tricked you. Yeah, so Prabhupada, he came to us. Yeah, okay, another, how is Prabhupada more merciful? And he brought Krishna to us too. He made Krishna come to us too. He brought Krishna with him. He came to us. Yes.
My Guru Maharaj, she actually did a slight little body conscious trick, but it really was just a trick. It was very subtle, but, you know, by improvising and changing his style of dress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
To suit us.
Okay, so your Guru had improvised and changed his style of dress, and in that way he was very merciful, more merciful than Krishna, okay? Yes. Anybody else? That was probably, yes, in the back. Mm-hmm. Okay. He took you as a disciple. That's how he's more merciful than Krishna. We can all say that, I think. Yes.
Until all of your disciples have been delivered, is that true?
Mm-hmm. So Prabhupada, he was asked if you won't leave the material world till all your disciples are delivered. Is that true? Material world, yeah. But then Allen Ginsberg was asking about, you know, what's going to happen to your disciples at the end of Kali Yuga, and Prabhupada said they will all be with Krishna. At the end of Kali Yuga, yeah. And he's, yes, Lakshmani. Yes. Yeah, right. in Melbourne, Australia. Okay. He spoke to Krishna on our behalf. So he's more merciful. Yes, Bhadra? In Canada. Oh, yeah. In Canada, you have to be... Was that when they... By what, the temple? Is that what you're thinking of? No. Oh, that was not Canada. That was L.A.
Yeah.
L.A. Yeah, he kept coming down to 75%. Yes, yes. We're supposed to be 100% pure to go to the spiritual world, but Prabhupada brought it down to 75% for us, and he'll make up the 25, you know. Yes. The standard was 64, Prabhupada brought it down to 16. So he's more merciful than the previous, than Lord Chaitanya, even. He made Ekadashi easy, well, yes, everything. He made it so easy for us. So that's wonderful. Okay, we're going to go on to verse 25. Again, another verse of why we should surrender. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well, but nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world, never come to the right conclusion. So, as we said this morning, the news of this world is that we're all in the frying pan being fried, and time is the cook for us. And so we can't, and Prabhupada says in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada says, as one cannot stop a blazing fire by constantly pouring ghee on it, one cannot satisfy oneself by increasing plans for sense enjoyment. So I was just talking before the class to Shesha Prabhu, and he's saying they're studying nectar of devotion. And what was that that you were saying about happiness, material happiness?
Well, the reason why material happiness is not worth endeavoring for, two reasons
why material happiness is not worth endeavoring for. Is bhoga tyaga. Yeah, you just enjoy and renounce, you know. And? Chapala sukha. It's just here today and gone tomorrow. So it's not worth, as we said in today's morning class, don't waste time. It will come without your endeavor, as distress will come. Yes? Bhoga tyaga. Bhoga means to enjoy and tyaga means to renounce. So it is. Some people, they try to enjoy, but when they get frustrated, then they renounce. They say, oh, actually, this, like in India, the world is false.
And then the other one is?
Chapala sukha means temporary. It's the sukha means happiness. Chapala means it's flickering. And here it's like a mirage in the desert. It's in front of you always, but you never get it. It just keeps moving like a carrot. The mirage, you never get to the mirage. It's always in front. So that's the promise of happiness in this world. And that's another reason why we should surrender to Krishna. Because then we'll get real happiness. Now verse 26 again, what we will get if we surrender. Oh my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. So this was something very special, to get the Lord's hand on your head. Lakshmi didn't get it, Shiva didn't get it, Brahma didn't get it. In fact, when Brahma came to beg forgiveness, Krishna didn't even speak to him. He just, you know, kind of basically ignored him almost. And with the speaker put his hand on his head. Lord Brahma couldn't really pacify Krishna like Prahlad could. So if we surrender, even though we're born in demonic families, we will get causeless mercy. What does causeless mercy mean? What is causeless? It means you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, right. You don't deserve it, but you get it. Isn't that nice? We get mercy, which we don't deserve. But if we surrender, we'll get it anyway. We'll get it, even though we don't deserve it. So, but we need that attitude. We shouldn't like think after so many years, I've been a devotee for 40 years, I deserve it now. I really deserve to get the mercy and retire and so many things. No, then you won't get it. But if you feel I don't deserve it, then you'll get it. That's how it works. You want to say something or no? Okay. So if you surrender, you get causeless mercy. And Prabhupada explained, what is that causeless mercy? That Nisshringadev put his hand on Prahlad's head. And he said, we can have that. Prabhupada said, the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be bestowed upon anyone, regardless of his position in this material world. Everyone is eligible to worship the Supreme Lord, irrespective of his material position. So isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Anyone can do it. Everyone is eligible. There's no bar. Caste is no bar, as they say. sometimes in the Indian marriage matrimonials. Cast no bar. But there are so many other bars they have. Slim, beautiful, 5 foot this, you know, this many pounds or kgs. Graduate, doctor, you know, they have so many bars, but cast no bar. Anyway, it's hilarious. But that's the nature of this world, that we're looking for happiness, and you think, this is going to bring me happiness if I get someone who's this height and this weight. And of course, in the West, they don't do that, but in India, they're very specific. They do it. Yeah, they do it in the West now. Oh, okay, they learned. Oh, they don't put it in the news. Oh, it's in the mind. Okay, right, okay, right. They do it everywhere, all right. So, yeah, so we're thinking happiness, yes. And then we see the mirage, and then we go for it, and we don't get it. So what determines how much mercy we get? Now it says causeless mercy, but there is something that you can do to open yourself to getting more mercy, and that is explained in verse 27. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, favorable and unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires, and makes no distinction between lower and higher. So level of service. So what does that mean, level of service? It is explained in the prayers of Queen Kunti in one of the purports. The same thing, that the Lord is impartial. He distributes his mercy equally. But there is something we can do. Some people get more mercy than others. How can that be? Why do some people get more mercy than others? Or it appears that way, actually, that some people get more mercy. Yes.
Some eagerness.
Eagerness, okay. Yeah. Eagerness, yes.
Consciousness.
Yeah, okay. But what is the consciousness that makes you get the mercy, yeah?
Previous activities.
Previous activities, okay. Surrender, yeah.
Wanting to serve,
good.
Sincerity.
All these are correct, actually. They're all correct answers.
Being in the right place
at the right time, yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well, what Prabhupada actually says in that purport is our receptivity determines how much we get. How open we are to receiving the mercy. How open we are. We discussed in those classes, you know, there's what kind of mercy is there that you don't want to receive? Because there's a lot of kinds of mercy that's coming to us. And some of them we may not be open to receive. So receptivity, that is the point. And here it says your service attitude. That this will make you get more mercy. So the next verse is very famous, and it's the actual most important verse in this section on being the servant of the servant, verse 28. And you have this verse, so I will sing one, and then you can repeat after me. And if you don't have the proper, it's too late now, but anyway, we did it properly today. Oh, if anyone doesn't have it, we do have copies there on that table that you can get the verse. Right there next to Prabhupada, there are some copies of the verses that we are singing here. So actually there's four pages, different pages. There's also an outline which I'm talking about. You can get those too. So this one is verse 28. Yeah. So who doesn't have, you can give them, huh, Harinam? He also doesn't have, yeah. Well, I guess he's giving. That's not the one, that's page two. Yeah. Okay, 28, verse 28. So I will sing, and you can repeat. Evam janan nipatitam prabhavahikope. Evam janan nipatitam prabhavahikope. Kama pikama manuya patapam prapatam prasangat. Kama vikamam anuya prapatam prasanga kritvat masat surashina bhagavan grihita kritvat masat surashina bhagavan grihita Soham katana visije tava vritya sevam. Soham katana visije tava vritya sevam. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? Now, very interesting comments that Prabhupada makes in his lecture on this verse. The first one he made was, just like you get knowledge from parampara, so you have to approach the Lord through the parampara. You cannot go directly. That was his first comment. That why we should be servant of the servant is because that's the parampara system. And it's a system in the spiritual world as well. You don't go directly, but people bring you to Radha and Krishna and engage you. Now, a very interesting next thing he says. Prabhupada says, Prahlad Maharaj is a Shaktivesh avatar. But still he says, how can I give up this service? He doesn't say, okay, I'm in front of you, I'm seeing you face to face, let me do some service for you, Nrisimhadev. Let me fan you, let me do this. No, he's saying, let me serve Narada Muni. Let me serve my guru. Doesn't forget his guru. Even though he's in face to face with Lord Nrisimhadev, he's thinking, I want to serve my guru first. He's the one that gave me this position of seeing you face to face. So let me serve him. So now the verse also says, ahi kupa. Ahi means snakes. So what is the, what are the snakes in the blind well? Who knows what these snakes are?
Senses.
Senses, very good. Kala sarpa. They're called sarpa. Actually, the senses are called snakes by very famous, who is that? Prabhupada Saraswati, I think so, yes. Senses are like snakes, but by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, they're broken. These senses, snakes, the fangs of the snakes are broken. So I'm not afraid anymore. And so Prabhupada said that Prahlad was always thinking of Narada Muni, his guru. And that's why when he saw Nrisimha, that's what he asked. This is his first request, that let me serve Narada Muni. And Prabhupada said that we should think, again on this, his comment was, my dear Vaishnava Thakur, kindly accept me as your dog. Let me be your dog. The dog is a very wonderful position to be of the pure devotee. So I have one thing to share with you. There is one devotee who left her body in Vrindavan this year. She was not a Prabhupada disciple, but she had a vision of Srila Prabhupada before she left her body. Very interesting vision, which can give all of us great hope. And the hope is if we are faithful to Srila Prabhupada, then that will give us great hope. We become Prabhupada's dog. That would be very hopeful for us. So her name, you know her perhaps, Nanda.
Her son
lives here. Okay, yeah, well, she had the vision. Parvati, because we were giving glorification, we were talking about her. And Parvati was not there, but she did it by cell phone because she couldn't, at that time, she was recuperating from a heart operation. She told us this vision that Nanda had told her, that she was walking with Srila Prabhupada on the road back to Godhead, actually. And there were people on both sides of the road criticizing. And they were saying, oh, she's not qualified. Oh, she's a malecha. Oh, she's this. Oh, she's that. They were all criticizing. And Prabhupada just looked at them and said, it's all right, she's with me. And then they all started offering obeisances and glorifying. So that's our position. It's all right. We're with Prabhupada. Whatever people say, it doesn't mean a thing, because if we're with Prabhupada, then nobody can say anything to us. If we are faithful to him, like his dog, even we're not qualified, we just follow him, we serve him, he'll take us back to Godhead. Also, Mula Prakriti, before she left, she had a vision of Prabhupada opening, you know, she was at the gates, and Prabhupada was behind the gates, and he said, don't worry, I'll open them for you when you come. So we have this great hope and this great faith in Srila Prabhupada. And he's for everyone. He's for everyone, not just the disciples. He's for every one of us, disciples, grand disciples, because we're all connected with Srila Prabhupada. And we all have that connection. So now I'd like to have the discussion. And why is it better to be the servant of the servant? And already we've given two reasons, and that is devotees more merciful than Krishna. And the second is that it's the parampara system that we are servant of the servant. So can anybody think of more reasons why we should be servant of the servant? Why is it better? Yeah.
The Guru Bhakti is by serving the spiritual master than Krishna is pleased. That's the only way we can live is Krishna.
Okay, by serving spiritual master, Krishna is pleased. That's one reason to be servant of servant. Any other reason? Yes. Oh, mercy gets sweeter as it passes down. Yeah. Shukadev, because Shukadev spoke Bhagavatam, it was sweeter, and because Prabhupada spoke it, it was even sweeter. Yes.
Because it's because we're conditioned souls, and it's easy, and everything about, like, we have about love.
Right. Okay, because you love the servant, everything is based on love. Okay? Anything else? It's good for humility too. Yes? You won't be thinking of yourself. Right. Yeah. You won't be thinking of yourself. Okay? What's that?
Grandfathers are kinder than fathers.
Yeah, so you even get more mercy than we do. The grandchildren get more mercy than the actual children, because the grandfather's more kind to the grandchildren. That's a fact. You get, so it gets multiplied as it goes down. More mercy. More mercy for everyone as the time goes on. That's one. That's the wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness, is that it expands. It's not static. The love is not static. And the ecstasy. Mm-hmm.
The spiritual master is expert. So.
He's expert. Right.
Srila Prabhupada is just showing us little things that we can do to please Krishna.
So okay. He's expert, and he's showing us little things to do to please Krishna. So it's better to be his servant, because he knows what Krishna likes. That's why it's better to be servant. We don't know. We'll give some things to Krishna. He may not even like it, you know. Yeah.
So Krishna receives things from the spiritual master that we offer to the spiritual master.
Right. Right. We may offer things and they're not so pure, but the Guru purifies them. Ananga?
Krishna loves all living entities, so if we serve any living entity, Krishna sees that living entity.
Yes, so Krishna loves all living entities. So if we serve any living entity, Krishna is pleased. Yeah. And I was, Ramnath Swami actually, at one time I had a small conversation with him, and he was saying about how, you know, even the non-devotees can help him serve Srila Prabhupada. I said, how can the non-devotees help you serve Prabhupada? He said, yeah, when I give them prasadam, then Prabhupada's happy. That's how they help me in my service to Srila Prabhupada. Because they take, you know, if I give them prasadam and they accept it, then that's making Prabhupada happy. If I help somebody who is a non-devotee to come to Krishna, then Prabhupada is happy. Yeah, so this is a wonderful discussion. I only had four reasons, but you have so many. And we're going to hear another wonderful reason in the next verse, actually. It's in, actually not in the verse, but in the, perhaps, no, it is in the verse. Yes, it is in the verse. Do we have anything more before we go to the next verse? Does anybody have anything else about why it's better to be servant of the spiritual master? Okay. And your homework will be to do something before tomorrow's class to please Srila Prabhupada. Or your guru to Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master. Do something tomorrow. So now this verse is very wonderful. And the most wonderful thing is Prabhupada's comment on this verse. Verse 29, my Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, You have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So here Prahlad is talking about two different ways that Nrisingadev upheld the words of his two different devotees. So in killing Hiranyakashipu, he upheld the words of who? Brahma, yes, because Brahma gave so many benedictions, not in the day, not in the night. And so therefore he upheld the words of Brahma. Now in protecting Prahlad, whose words did he uphold? And that's in the purport to this verse, actually.
Narada.
It's Narada. Because Narada, and here it says in the purport, when Prahlad's mother Kayadu was under the protection of Narada, she prayed for protection of her son from the enemy, and Narada Muni gave assurance Prahlad would always be safe from the enemy's hands. So he upheld the words of Narada and the words of Brahma. Now, here is the wonderful thing that Prabhupada says about this. Even if the devotee or servant of Krishna says something, even if it is wrong, Krishna upholds it. So sometimes people say, oh, Prabhupada made a mistake. It doesn't matter. Krishna is going to uphold his words, even if it's a mistake. Doesn't matter what he said. And like someone pointed out, because there's one devotee who always asks me philosophical questions, like really nitpicking. So there was one, actually it's two devotees, that's a different one. And they said, oh, Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, in one, I think it's second chapter, in one purport, if you finish at 1% in this life, you will start at 2% in your next life. But, you know, it seems like if you finish at 1%, you should start at 1% in your next life. So I said, well, if Prabhupada said 2%, then it's going to be 2%. Because here it says, even if it's wrong, if you see it as wrong, it's going to be what he says. You might think it has to be 1%, but Prabhupada is going to give an extra percent there for you. So that's an appropriate. You get people here who just like pick up the little, you know, things that you never read. Huh? Finished. Yeah, he says you start at 2% your next life. Anyway, but I said, when then I thought of this verse, I said, yeah, even if he says if it's wrong, still Krishna is going to uphold it. So if Prabhupada said anything, Krishna is going to uphold it. So watch out. Even if you think he made a mistake, he's going to uphold it. Because here Prabhupada says, Kaunteya Patijanihi, even if it's wrongly done, still Krishna fulfills. Because he thinks, my servant has promised, it must be fulfilled. Yes. Yeah. Right. He had to do it, yeah. He tricked. The sun set already, but Krishna made it like it didn't set. And it was too late. So then they fought the whole night after that. I said, okay. Usually they don't fight at night, but that night they fought. Yeah, so that's another example from Mahabharata of Jayadrata. Arjuna, Krishna said, why you make such a silly promise and now I have to keep it up, you know? So if the devotee says something, so you can just take anything Prabhupada says and it must happen, it must be true. And that's what it says, that you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. So he will prove Prabhupada's words true. And here Prabhupada goes on, if the servant of Krishna says, I'll take you to Krishna Loka, you must go there. Even Krishna cannot do that. Krishna cannot say, I'll take you. Prabhupada can say. He said, even Krishna cannot do that. He doesn't say very easily, but if a servant, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, therefore our philosophy is to please the servant of God. And again, the example, I don't know if I gave it last night or this morning, I gave it somewhere, about Mr. Sethi in Bombay. when we came to Bombay, we were living in very austere conditions. He built rooms for all the devotees in the back of the land in Juhu. And Prabhupada said to him, you know, just as you are building rooms for my devotees, Krishna is building your rooms in Goloka. And the man said, but Prabhupada, I'm so sinful. How can I go to the spiritual world? He was still drinking tea, you know, and he never got initiated. So Prabhupada said, that I will see. You don't have to worry about that. So he left his body. We know for sure where Mr. Sethi went, because he was serving the devotees. He was serving the servants of Prabhupada, actually. That was his service. And Prabhupada gave that promise to him. He gave promises like that to many people, many of our God brothers and God sisters. I remember in Calcutta, it was Palika and her friend. And there was Kaushalya and Palika, who were going out and making life members, getting donations. And Prabhupada said, you will both go back to Godhead in this life. So, and also to Sudama, whoever goes to Japan, they will go back to Godhead in this life. So Sudama raised his hand. So anyway, it's yes, back to Godhead. Prabhupada made many promises like that. So, yeah, my initiation letter, he just said, he gave me six orders, six instructions, and then if you do this, your path is open and you will go back to Godhead. So I'm sure he said that to a lot of devotees in their initiation letters. I gave them instructions. So this is a very important reason why to serve the servant, because his words will come true. Yeah, you follow him. So verse 29. Verse 30, now we're going to hear about the creation. Why should we hear about creation? We've heard it so many times. Because we have to know who is Krishna, who is going to save us, and we have to know our history also. You know, where do we come from? Verse 30, my dear Lord, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation. For you existed before the creation, you exist after annihilation. You are the maintainer between beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes, material nature. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. So it's also to make us see Krishna everywhere. That he created everything, and he is everything in the middle, and he's also there at the end. Before, during, and after. And Prabhupada said actually that there is no material energy in the higher sense. It's all spiritual because it's coming from Krishna. And that's actually the purpose of this Krishna consciousness, to transform the material energy into spiritual energy. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the purpose of our life. Now it's just covered material energy, but material energy is covering the spiritual, but we're supposed to uncover it by chanting, by doing service. Then we make it spiritual. So Prabhupada was lecturing in Mayapur, and he brought in Lord Chaitanya. He said, Krishna, you have now appeared in a body called Sri Krishna Chaitanya, but you are the same Krishna. And why has he come? Krishna Prema Pradayate. As Krishna, he couldn't give himself to everyone, but Lord Chaitanya can give himself. So he's come to give himself. That is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have this opportunity of this movement to see Krishna everywhere, and so we should take that opportunity. And he said we should chant very seriously, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adoita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda, because now we are in Mayapur with these lectures of Srila Prabhupada. So verse 21, we're going on. First the beginning of creation, there's only Krishna. My dear Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is the effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. Conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is not different from you. Annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and gross manifestation. So that's a lot of words. And what does it all mean? Here it says that, you know, we have a conception of mine and yours, but actually it's all Krishna's energy. So Prabhupada gave an example. If you have fire, two energies are coming. One is heat, one is light. And you may fight the heat belongs to me, and someone says the light belongs to me. But it's all coming from the fire. So everything's coming from Krishna, and we're thinking, okay, this one belongs to me and that belongs to you. But it's a misconception, because it's all Krishna's energy. Now another interesting point in the purport, Prabhupada says, about the time factor. It's under the control of the Supreme Lord. Advanced devotee does not distinguish between happiness and distress. When a devotee is in distress, so-called, Prabhupada says, he considers it a gift or blessing from the Lord. And when you have that attitude, then you're a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. So today on Facebook, I was reading one of our Guru Kuli, Vishaka. She's in the hospital in Belgium. Hari Priya, Vishaka's daughter, Hari Priya, is in the hospital, and she was in a lot of pain, and she was just praying, Shikshastaka 5, please pick me up, I've fallen in this ocean, please pick me up and put me as an atom of your lotus feet. So amazing from one of our children. But she's eligible now to go back to God. Yeah, she has gallstones, and so she's in the hospital in Belgium, right? Belgium. And so she has this, what Prabhupada says here, she has this eligibility. In distress, she is remembering Krishna somehow or other. And so now another point about this is that the seed, there's the seed and there's the tree. So what does this mean? Krishna is a seed, just like you have a seed and then it comes into a tree. But when the tree comes out, you don't see the seed anymore. So Krishna is the seed, and this whole cosmic manifestation came out from Krishna. But we don't see Krishna, it's covering him. And it's Prabhupada gives that example. Cloth is made of cotton. From cotton we get thread. From thread we get cloth. So when the cloth is there, the thread disappears. When the thread is there, the cotton disappears. And so he's talking about cause and effect. That there's a cause, and when the effect comes out, then the cause disappears. So Prahlad Maharaj is showing us how to see Krishna through Krishna's energies. Verse 32, my Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, after annihilation and creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. And I think some of you are also feeling that. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage, beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karadakshaya Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, the sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. And Prabhupada said a very interesting thing in the purport about this yoga nidra. Prabhupada said the practice of yoga is similar to yoga nidra of Mahavishnu. Did you know that? Yeah. Is similar to yoga nidra. Yogis are advised to keep their eyes half closed, but this state is not at all one of sleep, although imitation yogis, especially in the modern age, manifest their so-called yoga by sleeping. So that experience I had, I was doing hatha yoga before Krishna consciousness, and I got this, you know, mantra you had to pay for, and we were all sitting together in the room chanting, and a lot of people were sleeping and snoring, and I was wondering, is this the goal? Are you supposed to sleep while you do your meditation? Is it good for sleeping or what? You know, I really thought that way. I couldn't, you know, because they didn't really tell you anything, just said chant your mantra. And everyone and many were snoring, and I thought, well, it doesn't work for me. I'm not sleeping. But this yoga nidra, this Vishnu thing, when I was in India at the bookstall, there was one Indian man who came up and saw the picture of Mahavishnu, and he said, oh, why is he lying down? Is he sick? I think he's sick. That's why he's lying down. And so, you know, crazy. So Prabhupada gives a reason why he's doing this, why he's sleeping. He says, just like sometimes we take pleasure in a swimming pool. We lie down and close our eyes and float in the water. So he's doing that too. That's where we get that from, where we like to float on the water and close our eyes. So who is an expert swimmer? They're doing it. So why is it not possible for the Lord? He's having fun floating in the causal ocean. So then Prabhupada says, By studying Krishna, you get liberated. So these verses should be studied very carefully, understanding each word very carefully, and then you'll understand Krishna. So that was Karadakshai Vishnu. Verse 33 is the next one, Garbhadakshai Vishnu. And then we'll go on to the third one. Verse 33, this cosmic manifestation material world is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti, and thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Sheshananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. So, Prabhupada says, the conclusion is the material world and the spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. The material body is caused by the spiritual body as an expansion of the spiritual body. So then he says, therefore, when we take up Krishna consciousness, we have a material body, but our entire material body becomes spiritualized. So as I said before, this is the process of Krishna consciousness. And he said, similarly, this material world, if we expand the Krishna conscious movement, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. So that is our goal. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. And then he explains how we should see it, how we should see this world. When you understand every particle of this world is the body of the Lord, that is Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada explained this in other lectures, that there's the universal form of Krishna in this material world is made up of so many, all the living entities who live here, the trees, the plants, the animals, the living human beings. And each one has a service to perform for the universal form. And when there is a Krishna conscious king, everyone does their service. Just like when Yudhisthira was king, the rivers flowed, the trees produced fruits and flowers. So, and he said, every single weed and herb has a purpose in Krishna's creation. We just don't know it. And so this is the conception of seeing Krishna everywhere. Prahlad is trying to help us do that. And so therefore, because everything belongs to Krishna, we should use it for Krishna. And as we said yesterday, I am yours. If we belong to Krishna, we should be used for Krishna too. And that is the ultimate understanding of Krishna consciousness. So verse 34 is the Visarga creation from Lord Brahma. From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated, but Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you, however, for when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. So we explained that already, how you can see Krishna with eyes of prema. And Prabhupada said, how to do this is by deity worship. You do deity worship, and then you will see the Lord in the heart after you do deity worship. So it's the duty of the guru to engage the neophyte in deity worship. Then in the next verse, we go on. Lord Brahma, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. So he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see the cause of all causes, Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. So Prabhupada said how we can understand this. I am part of Krishna. My body is made of his energy, so I have no separate existence. But although he's everywhere, he's here, but he's also different from me. So Prabhupada said, he told us how it was when Brahma woke up before, in the beginning of creation. He said, Brahma, just imagine everywhere is dark, and you wake up and everything's dark. How perplexed you would be. And so he said, so that's how Brahma felt. He was just in the darkness. He couldn't see a thing. It was black. So he said, our birth is like that too. We're in darkness. And you know, the baby can't really see so much, I think, when it's first born. They can't see. They can't focus. It takes a while. It takes a few weeks. I don't know how long it takes. They can't really see when they're first born. And I had that in my near-death experience. I couldn't... When I came back gradually into my body, and The first thing that came was the sense of hearing. And I couldn't see for like 3 hours, and then that came back next. And after seeing, and then came, after hearing came seeing, and after seeing, I couldn't feel anything in my body. That came last. It took a whole night for that to come. It took like 12 hours for the feeling to come back in my body. So I was just looking at my japa beads over there and chanting and trying to count each bead. Wasn't easy the whole night because I didn't sleep after that. It was a shock to come back from the dead. And they thought, oh, she's going to sleep now, so everybody left. But wow, how can you sleep after that? Anyway, so yes, it's all dark. It's all dark. But we don't have to do this great austerity, tivra tapasa. We just have to worship Lord Chaitanya, chant Hare Krishna, very easy. And the last verse, Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You are very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. So he got the darshan. He saw the Vishwarupa, but Prabhupada says we want to see Krishna in the form of Shamasundar. That's who we want to see, his original form. And that is the real, real Krishna. But in order to understand Krishna, we understand the creation and all these other forms. So we will stop here. Just to review, we have the creation, before that, the servant of the servant, and why surrender, and because there's no happiness, everything's finished in a second, and how to surrender to become servant of the servant. And so, as your homework, I would like you to do something for your spiritual master tomorrow before the next class, to please your spiritual master. Any questions or comments on today's class? And if not, I will just review a few of the points we brought up on why it's better to be servant of the servant. Devotee's more merciful, his words are upheld by Krishna. Parampara is there, humility is there, and all of you made so many other points, which I hope you all can remember, because I can't. A lot of points. So I'll see you tomorrow, we'll finish, and we'll get a lot of wonderful verses, the actual mood of Prahlad Maharaj tomorrow, how he's willing to come back for everyone. So I hope you all come back tomorrow, too, and hear about that. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All the way.